easier to draw from a well that's full, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's like the simplest way to explain it. You know, I had an actor say to me when I first started out, and I found it so offensive at the time, but, it was basically the short of it is, I don't understand how young actors can do this because you have no life experience. Like, how could you possibly be a good actor?
Mm. Yeah.
And this is coming from like an Oscar winner. And I was so offended, and I don't know if it was that harsh at the time. That's how I remember it in my head. You know how things always get worse like 20 years later.
Yeah.
You know, but I understand now the at its core what that person was talking about. You know, as you get older and as you start to wear your life experiences on, you know, your person and that your loss, your pain, your struggles, your failures, your successes, your love, your loss, like all of those things, it becomes so much easier to tap into that because it's right there.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a kid, like, Jesus, like, get out of my way now. I feel like, you know, Give me some meaty stuff because I'm taking it to the bank. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, I've got so much to pull from now. Yeah. Like, now's the time to start giving me the good stuff.
That is the terrific actress, K.T. Sackhoff, who is reprising her role as Bo-Katan on The Mandalorian, which is out now. And she's so great in this interview. She's talking about just having now worked for a while in the industry and being older, feeling like she's got the life experience and the acting experience to take on any roles. And she's really hungry to do some cool stuff. And she's so great in this. She's so funny. We talk about chickens. We talk about babies. We talk about some really cool advice, great advice she got early on from a very established actor. So it's really wide ranging, really fun interview with her. Before we get to the full interview, please tell your friends about the podcast. If you haven't, please leave some reviews on Apple for us. That always helps. Oh, and by the way, everybody, I'm on tour May 5th and 6th. I'm going to be at the Omaha Funny Bone. So come on out. It's a great club. I have a great time there. It's one of my favorite places to work. So if you're in Iowa, Omaha, if you're anywhere, if you're in Canada, Antarctica, come. May 5th and 6th, go to the Omaha Funny Bone for tickets or my website, paulmercurio.com. All right. Hope to see you there. Did something interesting this past week. Went on a pizza tour of New York City. A close, dear friend of ours, it was his birthday. And to celebrate, we went on this thing called Scott's Pizza Tour. And we went to four different pizzerias to compare pizza. We were on a school bus. It was really cool. It was really fun. But, you know, and we learned a lot about pizza and dough and ovens. And it's you should do it. It's really Scott's Pizza Tour. You can look it up. But I got to tell you, I've lived in New York a long time. I grew up in Rhode Island. I'm Italian. There's a lot of Italians up there. And New York pizza is just, it ain't pizza. I'm sorry. I mean, Rhode Island pizza, that's what you want. Not Chicago, Rhode Island. It's not, it's got a nice crust. It's not too thin. The problem with New York pizza is it flops when you hold it up. Okay. Gravity pulls it down. Okay. You want a pizza that when you hold it up by the crust with your index finger and your thumb, that thing is parallel to the ground. That's pizza. You can eat it. Okay. The other thing, which is what they call the New York slice, is a triangle of cheese. That's what it is. Okay. In fact, I'm going to make a movie called The Triangle of Cheese. I think it's a great title and it could mean a million different things. So the pizza was fine. It tasted good, but I'm telling you right now, it ain't pizza. Rhode Island pizza. You got to go to Rhode Island, go to Providence, go to Federal Hill, go to Charles Street. You get some pizza. Tell them I sent you. But the triangle of cheese, it's not happening. It's a ball of cheese. And there's a whole process I have when you got to eat the triangle of cheese. Like I take a bite at the point. There's hardly any crust. It's paper thin and a lot of cheese. So to balance it out, I then have to go to the back of the pizza slice where the crust is. And I got to take a bite of the actual crust. So I'm getting the proper proportion of crust to cheese and tomato sauce. It's a whole process. It's exhausting to eat a slice of New York pizza. So just stop it with the New York pizza, okay? It's fine for the rat. There was Pizza Rat. Remember that? Okay, the rat liked it. Okay, he dragged it down the stairs. But he's a rat, you know. I'm not sure that he's, rating restaurants for the Michelin Guide. You know what I'm saying? Okay, enjoy Katie Sackhoff, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. My guest, returning guest, you know her from Sci-Fi's Battlestar Galactica. You know her as Vic Moretti on A&E Netflix series Longmire. And, of course, Bo-Katan, the great, great character on the Disney Plus series, is Katie Sackhoff, who is reprising her role in season 3 of The Mandalorian, which is out now on Disney Plus. It's great to have you back on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Yeah.
So since you've been on, a lot has happened. I've been writing, I email, I never hear back from you. No, I'm just kidding.
A lot has happened. And, you know, that's the thing with these shows, is they take so long to shoot. It's been so many years since season 2.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And I love your Instagram because, first of all, you had a baby since I talked to you last. You have chickens and you just got your first eggs from your chickens, Red and Bunny, right?
I did. Oh, my God. And this morning I was literally on another live radio show and I went out to let the girls out and Bunny finally laid an egg. It's a cute little green egg. I was so excited.
There's another shot of you on Instagram and you're sitting in your car going, all right, I just went to buy eggs and I got two chickens and they ain't laying eggs and they got to get with, like, it's hilarious.
I know. I was literally like, these bitches need to start pulling their weight. This is crazy. This is crazy. Feed costs so much money. Like, you better give me eggs, girls.
Now, what prompted the, you're like this third person I know that has chickens now. My son's girlfriend's parents have chickens. Like, what is it? Yeah. Was it just something fun to do or why?
I think it's probably like pandemic boredom. But at the same time, like I grew up in a small town. I grew up around animals. I've always wanted more animals. And I kept saying, let's wait till I move back to an area with, you know, more land and more acreage. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a second, I can have chickens in Venice. Like I can have chickens at my home in California. Like, this is crazy.
Right.
And so it just took a little while to convince my husband, because my husband is from a small town as well. His brother and sister-in-law have tons of chickens. Like their chicken stock is a little bigger than ours. Like we started with 4, we're at 2. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I love it. I absolutely love it. They're so funny to watch. And the two that are left, Bunny and Red, like they like play with us and like follow me around the yard. Like my daughter loves to go and like hang out with them. Like, you know, it's, the only thing I haven't figured out yet. People are like, they're so gross. They poop everywhere, which they do. But at the same time, it's, you know, I don't know. It doesn't bother me that much. We just don't wear our side.
That's awesome. That's so great. And do they have personalities? I've always wondered. They say all animals have personalities. Do you sense a personality?
Oh my God, so many. Like, do you think about all of the sort of like female characteristic statements we get about, like, from chickens? Like there's like a, you know, like the hen party and like the pecking order and like, you know, like it's there. If you think about all those, it all comes from chickens, because there's so many different personalities in one flock. And, you know, like Red was our tiniest bird and she became like the top hen. Like she's the alpha, which is so funny. And Bunny, who's like started out like super aggressive, is like the first one that was like, you want to pick me up and pet me?
That's hilarious.
They're just very different and they're so beautiful. I don't know. It's funny. I love it. I absolutely love it. I can't wait to move. In fact, I want to leave California just to have more acreage to get more chickens.
Now I'll be going to the store in a couple of years and I'll be buying Katie Sackhoff eggs. I'll be buying, like, you have your own line of eggs, right?
Right next to my wine that I'm going to start making. So I think that I just need to find acreage to like have a hobby farm. And like, everyone's going to be like, what happened to Katie Sackhoff? And they're going to be like, well, she's making her own wine and eating her own chicken. So,
Then she says she's selling signed Mandalorian helmets on the side just to pick up a few bucks, which I saw,
it's
by the way.
It's called like owl wine or something.
Yeah, exactly. Mando. It's like, so now you're a parent. How's that been? Like, by the way, the purest joy that I have ever seen is your face on your Instagram feed, popping packing material and watching your daughter just lose her mind over it, laughing hysterically. That video is like, because my son's older now, but I just remember that you look like you're having so much fun. And so how has it been, and how are you doing balancing that with, you know, being on set and all the work you're doing and everything else?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there is the absolute blessing of, I'm just kicking my dog out. He's telling me he's hungry. He carries his bowl around everywhere. Stupid chihuahua. I am so blessed that I have the opportunity to, I took a year off, you know, my daughter was born in the middle of filming Mandalorian. And she came to work with me all the time. And it was such a beautiful experience because, you know, when my mom had me, she went back to work 2 weeks later, and she was a teacher, and that's what she had to do. And yes, I did go right back to work, but as soon as filming was over, I took a year off. I didn't miss anything. You know what I mean? And that is such a beautiful gift that so many women and mothers and fathers in our country don't get. So it's just been amazing, absolutely amazing. And now I'm itching to go back to work though. Like, I love her, but like, God help me.
Yeah. I
need a break. But no, she is just like, I didn't understand. Like, I feel like I need to apologize to every single person who I told them having a dog was just like having a baby.
because
I finally, well, I just like, I was like, I have dogs. I understand what unconditional love is.
Yeah.
Like, which I still would jump in front of a car for my dogs, but like, there is something completely different that happens to you when you have a child that I didn't expect. Everyone had told me, but I didn't understand it. I didn't understand that the moment I held this little baby in my arms, my entire focus in life would shift. And while I don't, I'm not living for my child. That's the wrong thing. I still have my own independence. I still have my own identity, but everything comes back to her. Everything is about what's best for her. Everything is about what will this do to my child? What's the right decision for her? Like,
right.
Everything is about raising a thoughtful, healthy, loved, amazing, like, little baby, you know, like, it's all about her. And I didn't expect that.
Yeah. Do you ever accidentally call her Red or Bunny? Because like, my mother does that. She accidentally calls me by my brother or sister's name, and Red and Bunny are kind of sound like they're members of the family. Just like,
It's against my husband's better wishes. Yes, they are starting to become that. But no, I call the dogs Ginny sometimes. When I'm like, Robin, Ginny, happy. God,
yeah,
damn
I know.
It.
I know.
Like,
I know.
What is your name? Excuse my language. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. You could say whatever you want on this, but yeah, I mean, it's funny. You have a picture of your daughter taking her first steps, and I remember seeing my son take his first steps, and he would like walk 10 feet and then like just plop down on his butt and then get up and walk 10 feet and then plop and walk repeatedly. And I just looked at him one day and I started laughing. My wife's like, "What are you laughing?" And I go, "I think we're raising a security guard, because he would just walk 10 feet." He looked like a security guard in a museum, going from one gallery to another, then sitting down and resting. Yeah, it's been great. I do stand up. It's great for your act too, to have a kid. But you're right. It's all about, you worry, you know, you, so then you sometimes like, I'm more of a worrier than my wife, and I worry about everything.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
You got to let it go. And she's big on letting him figure things out. And I'm more of a hoverer, but it is good. And it just makes you realize it's not, we work in a business, especially as performers, where a lot of times the nature of what we do, it's about us, right? You're at the center of this thing, and
it's inherently built for narcissists.
Yes. 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 And in a bad way. But with the kid, you're like, you know, it pulls, if you're a healthy, good parent, which it sounds like you are, it pulls you out of that sort of place of self-centeredness and about me and all that stuff. So I think it's great on so many levels.
It really does. Yeah.
Did you, so So you're reprising the role third season in The Mandalorian, and you talked about, I mean, you started this, you know, voicing the character, and then you got the on-camera role. People don't understand, like, voice acting isn't just saying words, but imbuing those words with personality. What do you think you did in the voicing that helped you get the role? I mean, you're obviously a great actress, but, you know, when you go from animation to live action, was there something you felt like you did, or you just really got the character that allowed this all to come out, unfold for you?
Oh, gosh. You know, I honestly don't know. I wish if I had, it's like lightning in a bottle, you know, like it really is, in the sense that, like, voice actors don't transition into live action. It's a very, very hard thing to do for the same character. That's what I mean. It very rarely happens, if ever. And so I don't necessarily think it's something that I've done. You know, I always try to take the job for what it is in the moment, give it everything that I have. And I always give everything my authentic self, because I don't know how to do anything else. Mm. And so I gave Bo everything that I had, and I left it on the floor with no expectation of anything else. And I had so much fun doing it. Mm. And, you know, I think that the thing that probably lent itself the most, which was something that just happened naturally, is the other characters that I've played throughout my career have lent to my ability to play Bo-Katan. Had I been offered this role 15 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do it. It would have been too much.
Why not?
Because the character has too much life experience to her. She has too much loss, too much pain, too much guilt, too much anger, things that I never had to really truly experience up until I got into my 40s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, playing that in a voice and that inflection that you give to the voice character is very, very different than standing in live action with your heart on your sleeve, with everybody watching you, for better or worse, like, you can't hide. Mm-hmm. So I think it came at the right time for me to understand the weight of all of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I just did another, I worked with this acting coach here in New York, his name is Bob Krakauer. He's really great. And I, you know, go back to class just to stay, you know, sharp. And and, you know, we do 4 days of scenes, and, you know, I was really happy with what I did this time around, you know, because I was really understanding the stories and the motive, what the characters were trying to. And I thought about, like, I'm not to sound whatever, but I'm better now only because I'm older, because, you know, when you first start acting, you're pushing and you're like, oh, I'm going to do this here, and I'm going to say this way, and I'm going to plan this.
Yeah.
And it just, now it's just kind of light. And it's like, oh, I understand this scene. It's like, it's just like a whatever that I've already experienced in my life. And I think technically I'm not a better actor, but I think maybe I'm better because I've lived the life now. And so I'm understanding these scenes better. That makes sense. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's easier to draw from a well that's full, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, the simplest way to explain it. You know, I had an actor say to me when I first started out, and I found it so offensive at the time, but, and it was basically the short of it is, I don't understand how young actors can do this, because you have no life experience. Like, how could you possibly be a good actor?
Mm. Yeah.
And this is coming from, like, an Oscar winner. And I was so offended. And I don't know if it was that harsh at the time. That's how I remember it in my head. You know how things always get worse, like, 20 years later.
Yeah.
You know, but I understand now, the at its core, what that person was talking about. You know, as you get older and as you start to wear your life experiences on, you know, your person, and that your loss, your pain, your struggles, your failures, your successes, your love, your loss, like, all of those things, it becomes so much easier to tap into that, because it's right there.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a kid, like, Jesus, like, get out of my way now. I feel like, you know, give me some meaty stuff, because I'm taking it to the bank. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, I've got so much to pull from now. Yeah. Like, now's the time to start giving me the good stuff.
Yeah, and I want to just warn all the other actresses out there that are sort of in your sort of category. You also have chickens to draw from. You're raising chickens, lady, and you can pull on that. And I'm kidding.
Like, there's nothing like holding a dying chicken in your arms and crying.
Right, there you go.
There's nothing like that moment. No, but
seeing that chicken egg and holding that chicken egg, it's the first egg, and crying, and then your chihuahua walks in with a bowl in its mouth, and then Ginny's screaming, crying. You've got it all. You've got all this to tap into now.
I mean, when your child is figuring out how to take their own diaper off, and like just the fear
in
your mind, I am going to wake up with feces on the walls, and put that expensive wallpaper up.
There you go.
I have got so much to draw from.
and just so you know, my mother's 95 and it goes full circle. I walk in, she's trying to take her diaper off. So it never changes.
You know
just
what?
Come full circle.
That's the glory of life. Like, exactly. I literally, like, now I worry about my mom falling as much as I do my 1-year-old child.
Yeah, that's true. We were just with my mom and we had
it
a
does.
Little list.
It
yeah,
does.
She fell in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Thanks for getting hurt. But one of the things.
Both of them, I see them on the counter. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah,
get down.
Exactly. And they repeat things over and over again. My mother's constantly repeating things like, did I do whatever? It's literally like the circle of life. Just you do it once and then you go. And I've been saying to my wife, like, I feel like I have a child again. She goes, yeah, I know. This is kind of this is the drill. This is the way it goes. But then
I know.
She said, the nice thing is you get to be that person at 95 who's trying to take your diaper off when you're not supposed to. So just
it's true. You know what? My husband is 10 years younger than me. And I keep saying that I need to make it to like 97 mm-hmm. because he's not moving on at 87. Like, if I can make it that far, he will spend the remainder of his life missing me, wishing I was still here. And so that's just my goal.
You think when he's 80, he'll be in your 90, or if you pass at 90 and he's 80, you think he'll be out, like, you know, looking for a woman, getting maybe check?
No, not at all. That's the point. I think at that point, he's just going to be like Netflixing and chilling by himself.
I think you're right. You have it all planned out. This is pretty amazing.
I do. Listen, life is nothing if you don't have a good day planner. I've got it all planned out.
Exactly. You know, you were talking about working with Jon Favreau, who's the creator, director, writer, and amazing. And you talked about the character, and you said one of the things, this is a quote of yours, one of the things that Jon and I focus on is where she is in the moment, what peppers her experience, meaning your character. Explain that to people and what you mean by that, because I thought that was really an interesting sort of take on how you're approaching the character in season 3.
Absolutely. So I think that when you get to a point with a character, and you can do this with a character that's brand new to you or a character that you've played for a very long time, I think it is very important for myself as a performer to ask where I just was and where I'm going, and then ultimately what the character wants in this moment. And it's all very important, because if you don't remind yourself where you're just coming from, you could play the scene could come out completely wrong. And especially with a character like this that has so much backstory. And we also shoot out of order, so you have to remember that as well. And so I think it's really important to, just for my own emotional place where I'm coming from with her, to say, okay, I was just here. This just happened. This is where I'm going. What in this moment is important? What is the core focus of this moment that's going to lead me to that place? And I just think it's really important. I think it's really important. I think as human beings, we do this too. We just don't realize it, right? Like, when we're making big decisions in life, when we're deciding, you know, what to eat for dinner, where you just were and where you're going are so important to some of these decisions. And but we just naturally make them and don't have to remind ourselves of what we've just done, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If you just had an argument and then with your husband and then you have to walk into a meeting, you're going to walk into that meeting in a different state of mind than if you had just, you know, had a lovely conversation with somebody. So it all every moment informs the next moment. So it makes a ton of sense. Listen, it's so great that you're reprising the role. I know all the fans are super excited. I've been seeing stuff online. Everybody's excited about season 3.
Yeah.
It's so great to have you on. Congratulations on Ginny. Congratulations on Bunny having your eggs now.
I'm so excited. You are literally going to see me move to like acreage in the next 5 years and be like, oh my God, she did it. She's got 30 chickens, goats, and a cow and a pig. I'm so happy.
I'm going to see
you. I'll still be acting.
Yeah. And then in your downtime, I'll see pictures on Instagram of you driving your tractor or something or whatever, right?
You will. I don't know. Yeah. I'm accident prone though. I don't know if my husband will let me in a tractor.
All right. Well then stay off the tractor. It's so lovely to have you on, Katie Sackhoff. We'll do this again. And I'm so glad everything's going great. Take care.
All right. There you go. That's Katie Sackhoff. She's awesome. Please go to Apple, leave some reviews, tell your friends about the podcast. We will see you guys very soon. At a club near you. I am going to be May 5th and 6th at the Omaha Funny Bone. So if you guys are in that area, please come on out.